Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 14 November 2021, Sunday. So we'll be continuing from this book, Lesson 55, Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Dated 24th of June 2021. We are at page 47. Okay, the subheading is all this part of the cultivation. So this section is very useful. You have to listen to it so that you understand. Just earlier on, a lot of people don't understand. That's why Brother Song, after a while, he developed the understanding. So he wants to share this with all Kayamitas too. Okay, I will read on. Brother Song said, "Today's sharing is incredibly good. Therefore, all Kayamitas must put in efforts, have faith and understanding to cultivate diligently and accordingly. While meditating, we train the mundane mind to be silent. Whatever experience you went through is always part of the cultivation." So this is a very important understanding. Do not doubt. Just let it be. If we do not understand the training, we will debate and fall back into sitting, seeking good meditative experiences. We want to know what is the meaning and significance of all these experiences. In fact, we only need to understand all the experiences that arise during the meditative training are part of the way. Then our understanding is there. Then you can just let things be. Just be silent. And whatever mind state that arises, just aware. Do not need to react. Means you don't have to react. Slowly, we can start cultivating with this understanding for about 15 to 20 minutes. We are training the mind to be just aware. Then the understanding and faith can arise naturally. Then I add in. Yes. Develop the mind and let it be more and more quiet, still, and aware, so that the mind does not think. That is especially important. That is mindfulness leading to heedfulness. When you are heedful most of the time, you are just aware. You only need to arise the thought when you need to use the thought for living life or understanding or sharing or do whatever. Apart from that, you are most of the time silent and just aware. You must reach this stability of training. And then you are developing, and when you are developing the cultivation that you mentioned, whatever that happened, all your meditative experiences or jingjie, no matter how fantastic or special that arise, even including those from watching the YouTube short video, those experiences are not important because they are all part of the way. Yes, what is important is, does it give rise to wisdom? So this must be the inquiry. If it does not give rise to wisdom, then just let things be. If it gives rise to wisdom, contemplative reflection, inquiry, or direct seeing, that is useful. It is the wisdom that frees the mind, straighten your views, and let you understand. When more and more understanding is there, wisdom will arise naturally. So this part is very useful. A lot of people fail to understand this particular paragraph that I mentioned just now. You see, during meditation, whatever you experience, so in Mahayana, they like to experience fantastic mind states. They call it special mind states or 境界. No matter how fantastic or special that 境界 is, even including what you see on the YouTube short video of other people's experience, those experiences are not that important because they are all part of the training, part of the way. Yes, what is important is, does it give rise to wisdom? So this part has to be properly understood. If it gave rise to wisdom, contemplative reflection, inquiry, or direct seeing, then that is useful. It is the wisdom that frees your mind, nothing else. Straighten your views and let you understand. When more and more understanding is there, wisdom arises naturally. That is why you need to silence your mind to observe. To be completely silent, to develop the ability to be aware of what is going on within your form and mind while in the midst of life. Then only can you have self-knowledge to know who you are, what you are. That you can understand how your mundane mind arises, how it stirs, how it creates all those duality, bono sankaras, heedless thinking. Then also what thought is. You can see the limitation of thought, how thought divides and creates all this conflict and misunderstanding and the evil roots that are involved. This can only be understood through a very stable mindfulness and awareness, through the internal awareness that sees all this movement. If you cannot do that, which means you cannot meditate or you are not meditating, then it becomes thought-based doing. Thought is then actively or continuously acting because thought is trying to meditate or thought is trying to know or trying to do the noting, focusing and chanting. All these are thought-based practices. It cannot give rise to true understanding or wisdom. It is not from the self nature observing. So if thought is trying to understand thought, then how can you be free from thought? Basically, thought is trying to control thought. The controller is the control. That is how Jay Krishnamurti puts it. The controller, which is thought, is trying to control the emotion, the anger, etc. But anger and emotion is also thought. You do not separate them because when you are aware, you clearly see the delusion of thought. Your thought cannot go beyond thought. Thought is limited, egoic, and has all these problems. Thought has its place in existence and life. But thought is not for us to use to cultivate the Dhamma, because thought cannot penetrate beyond thought to realize the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So thought-based meditation, thought-based knowledge does not serve much purpose because it cannot lead to awakening. Thought-based knowledge is not Dhamma, not the true Dhamma. It is not the real cultivation. So see all this clearly, understand all this, then you will become different. Your cultivation will become different. So today's main sharing point is to lead you all deeper into the true cultivation. Because unless you understand what that true cultivation is, you all can still be trapped at the mundane mind thought level, because the mundane mind is the only instrument that people can understand, and they always use it, and they use it a lot. That's why you need to reverse all this through training the mind to be silent, to be aware. Then you can see how the mundane mind stirs to arise the defilement, how it becomes emotional, fearful, insecure, frightful, how the views, opinion, and the conditioning comes in and create conflict and misunderstanding. Then you start to understand why the Buddha say, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. You give attention to the wrong thing, things which are unfit for attention, then the defilement or the asava becomes more and more. This unarisen defilement arises, and the arisen defilement will proliferate and become more powerful. But when you pay attention following the Sabbasava Sutta, by attending to the Four Noble Truths and its three turning, the Dhamma understanding arises. Then you will come to realize the arisen asava ceases to be. The unarisen defilement cannot arise, because you are basically contemplating, reflecting, and silencing your mind to develop the wisdom, the Dhamma understanding. That is why you must pay attention to Dhamma. When you reflect on the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, when you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, the essential Dhamma, all these are right attention, which means you are applying the thought in the right to the right thing that are fit for attention. You are not paying attention to negative things, emotional things, frightful things, leading to fear, worry, anxiety, and insecurity. That is why when the faith is no more there, you will develop the opposite negativity of mind state of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and doubt. These are all the mental hindrances that arise because the opposite five spiritual faculties are absent or not there. So all this understanding you must have. Then understand it clearly, write it down if you need to, so that it is no more just Dhamma knowledge. Initially, you need to learn the teaching, then try to put it into practice. When you put it into practice, initially, the thought-based thinking keep on coming in to interfere, because the thought which is so conditioned and habitual is so active. Then you need to continue to relax, maintain awareness, and remain silent. That is why that part is particularly important. If you do not do that, you cannot realize the true mind. You cannot develop the stability of awareness. Then you cannot do anything to stop the thinking mind, the mundane mind, from being heedless. Then according to Lord Buddha, the heedless think a lot, whereas the heedful never think, or very seldom do they think. Most of the time they are just aware. So heedfulness is the path to the deathless. So you must train your mind to be heedful. To be heedful, you must be aware. Then stabilize it. Then make it ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate so that all the essential Dhamma can fall into place. That is the reason why your cultivation should that is the reason why your cultivation should be done with understanding. Follow all these steps. Relax and maintain awareness. Stabilize that awareness to become ever mindful, and then use it to cultivate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths and the other essential Dhamma. Then constantly listen to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate to develop the faith. Then arise the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Develop awareness with clear comprehension, sati sampajana, following the 10 steps of the Abhijja Sutta. So these are all important practices following the Abhijja Sutta. All these will fall into place because they are all connected and linked. So this understanding is very important. What song wants to explain today is very beautiful. But because now for Songske, he has not developed the stability and clarity or understanding yet. That's why he still cannot put it into words clearly yet. But he basically knows what all these are. So as a recap, if you experience anything or whatever that arises during meditation or cultivation, always remember it as part of the way. If you are sincere, you have faith, and you persevere, the Dhamma will unfold. So do not go and create doubt, worry. We are asking, am I doing it correctly? All these are mental hindrances arising from the thought. Have faith, be sincere, and persevere. Just do, don't try to know. Then continue to silence your mind. Observe, dwell in Dhamma, attend to Dhamma, especially the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, the essential Dhamma, then the Dhamma will unfold, including all this, the daily religious routine, covering everything that I have taught you all earlier on. So this one you have to include in, the daily mindfulness training, etc. Then you will definitely progress. You will become incredibly beautiful. And I say, okay, sadhu, song. Then brother song also says sadhu, relative. Then we go to the next section. Oh, we are finishing already. Okay. Then I say sadhu. It's already 10:43 p.m. That was the evening. Thank you so much, Brother Song, for bringing out the condition for today's good sharing. So do listen to today's sharing again because it can help a lot of people. The cultivation is all there. The understanding is all there. Slowly, slowly write it down and develop the clear understanding. Okay, so we shall end our today's sharing. Let us rejoice one more time. We can also rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So today we managed to complete the sharing of this book, this transcript book, Lesson 55, Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Gu Liang Yi Jing, dated 24th of June. 2020. So do pay attention to today's sharing. It's very useful. In fact, this whole book is very useful. You can go back and read through it again. For Dharma practitioner, it's very useful because the whole topic that we discuss is about cultivation. It comes from Brother Song's question and answer and also sharing meditation reporting. So all these are very useful. Okay, maybe with that we will have our meditation, 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So we will off the light and you can have your 45 minutes of meditation, awareness-based meditation. So today we end slightly earlier. Okay. Just remember to relax completely, body and mind. Then maintain awareness for as long as you can to stabilize the awareness nature within you. Then finally, use it to meditate. Use it to develop understanding. And also, the last support for awareness-based meditation is trust. Trust your nature to do. No more interference from the thought. No more thought arising to interfere with your meditation. Just silent, relax, maintain awareness. Then allow that nature to move and develop the meditation. Trust, the last support is only needed when you are very stable in your cultivation. When you can develop this awareness until it's very stable, then you are throughout the day mindful and just aware. And during that time, your spiritual faculties, the five spiritual faculties, would have been very stable. And most of the time, you are without mental hindrance. That's why you are in a meditative state. So with that, it's very easy to meditate. Then you can just relax, maintain awareness and silence everything. Then you can stay at your object of meditation or at your heart area. Just relax, maintain awareness and let the nature detect the gateway and move on its own. Okay, so we'll continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have.
I like to thank Brother Teo for all the key points needed and all the sharings from the Kalamitas. You listen it attentively. Actually, it helped to stabilize our meditations.
Yeah, that was very important. Yeah,
it's also the understanding. Because previously, we used to have the traditional way of meditating, then we actually neglect the understanding of our own mind process.
Yeah.
That sometimes we are too focused into going into the peace.
Yeah, and the calmness, the peace.
And looking
for good meditation.
That we are actually, before we went into meditation, we already expecting something. And I can see that the awareness itself, like for instance, I'm very happy to listen to Padmasri daughter that day. She said, just do. That one is just a wisdom, you see. And Brad Joe, I mentioned, just aware that is. Just aware that is, actually you are at the present moment and you will not see ever happening in that present moment.
Yeah.
And because of that, the acceptance is naturally there. So I find that when this, if you keep on going in this way, you arises the understanding when the phenomena happens in that moment. And this is like a flow. I find that lately, even that I do my daily duties, activities, all that, it's like last time I used to plan. To finish in what time. No more. Now the mind is like flow.
No more the rigidity. You no longer like allow time to control you. You every day must do this, must finish this, must what. No more.
But this flow, I noticed, Rajo, it actually very timely is complete. It's timely. And it flow to another one and flow. And at the end of the day, you actually pick up a lot of skill.
And you can do it faster. You complete the thing faster. You become like more efficient. Because why? There is no more behind the mundane mind. No more urgency or no more thought trying to propel you to do something. There is clarity, there is understanding, and you are at peace. When you are at peace, you are very efficient. Even you do your work also same. Your daily routine also same. Whatever you attend to, if you are mindful and heedful, you are a lot more efficient. Compared to the one that use the mundane mind to plan, want to achieve this, want to achieve that. So that thought behind is actually creating problems. That's why now you start to understand when you just do, don't try to know, the understanding will arise by itself. Just the observation, the silent mind that goes through the process, develop understanding. And from the understanding, you will know how to let things be, accord and forget. This is the least resistant. This is the one that leads to peace, tranquility, stillness, zero stress, zero affliction. Then you realize this is what cultivation is all about. It's no more about the theory, no more about the Dhamma. Oh, I must have this, I must have that, I must have jnana. The actual happening is actually the reverse. When the wisdom is there, you will understand. Without the wisdom, it's only theory, the thought trying to understand, the thought trying to link, the thought trying to like justify or make use of Dhamma knowledge to understand what is going on, then try to use it to like look for such experiences and such the words that people use, like jhana, jnana, or those things. Then trying to link, thinking that when you have such experiences, you are having that jnana knowledge or insight knowledge. No, wisdom is not like that. Wisdom is different. When the mind awakens, it's without thought, it's without knowledge. Then the understanding actually transforms you. Then when the understanding transforms you, you will understand why the book describes it in this way. Yeah, you need words, you need 文字 to express all this. But what has been understood is beyond thought, beyond word. There is no 文字 involved. Because from that nature, the self nature, the true nature, it awakened the insight into it. So the whole process is different. That's why as you stabilize all this understanding and cultivation, like what you mentioned just now, you will come to a different understanding. And what you mentioned at the beginning is very good. Because you all are so conditioned by the way you do your practice, your cultivation, and all those things. That's why you fail to see the importance of understanding what is meditation as taught by Sakyamuni. So when you don't understand what is the meditation as taught by Sakyamuni Buddha, you will do it based on your conditioning, your training that has been passed down over the years, and you never really question all those instructions. Yeah, they are not meditation. They are in fact a series of skillful means to teach you how to do certain things. Whereas meditation is to develop the understanding of what is meditation before you can go into it to move. If you don't have the understanding, you cannot move. That's why method, technique never defines the meditation. All the so-called chanting, everything also never define the meditation. But they are skillful means to achieve something. But people didn't know. It was not explained. That's why you are caught. That's why when Hui Ning came, the sixth patriarch, he straight away zoomed in into the essential practice, the three hallmarks of Hui Ning. In fact, the first hallmark is very important. No thought, Wu Nian. And that is your true mind. Nobody knows that. Nobody can teach that and explain that. Without thought, you're already aware. People don't understand. Then, because of that, you don't understand what sati is. When you don't understand what sati is, you will not understand that every living being have two minds, the true mind and the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the condition arising mind, the mind that is always arising the thought to interpret, to react and stir, to do a lot of things in the name of meditation. So all this, if you don't understand, you will be gullible. Doing a lot of thought-based meditation without understanding. There's a reason why a lot of practitioner, Dharma practitioner or meditator or cultivator, they are trapped. They hardly progress. They achieve some form of calmness, peacefulness. But real penetrative wisdom, very seldom. Maybe once a while, there is some contemplative wisdom glimpse when they are very like serious in the formal practice, like always keep themselves to retreat, to meditation center, to the way place. Throughout the day, they do this routine. Then because of their constant doing, they develop some form of spiritual faculties, or in certain cases, their mindfulness stabilizes. But they don't know that all these are training, various skillful means to train the mind in various aspects. Some is to train the mind to have faith, like Amitabha for chanting. Then the faith will drive you to cultivate. Then as you chant until the mantra or the chanting, the forehead and the mind move as one, you develop sati. Then when sati stabilizes, you continuously do it, it becomes samadhi. Then you can see things as they are, you develop wisdom. Then you understand the sutta. But they don't know that these are skillful means that they use to develop the spiritual faculty that will enable them to overcome the mental hindrance and awaken and progress in the meditation. So finally, they end up developing something. But if they don't know what they are doing, then they cannot teach. Very difficult to teach. They just say, you chant, or you meditate, you sit, you walk. But what is actually meditation? Meditation is to realize that you have two minds. Sing wei gen ben. Then you have to start with that self nature. You must realize the silent mind, the no thought. Without thought, you're already aware that is your true mind. That is the one that can meditate. You must understand that. Then from there, you know how to apply whatever you need to realize that state. That's why finally, I find that the easiest is to bypass all the thought-based meditation. The methods, the technique, all those things, no need. You just relax, maintain awareness to stabilize that true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature. Then from there, use it to observe, use it to insight into phenomena, use it to meditate, to awaken, to be heedful, to be mindful. And the whole of cultivation is just that. Then with that, the understanding will unfold by itself. Where you are in the meditative state with the spiritual faculty to see things as they are, to understand. Then you start to have the clear understanding of who you are, what you are. That is what Jai Krishnamurti mean by self-knowledge. When you have self-knowledge, you start to understand basically the form and mind is not you. This one is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, and is impermanent. When you attach and cling one thing's your way, which is not nature's way, it leads to suffering. And the cause behind suffering is the mundane mind's delusion, sakayadity, self-delusion, that condition the living being to grasp, to cling, to hold, to give meaning, to have belief system, to hold on to tradition and all those things. Then they use words and thought, which is limited, to create division. And through this division, they create duality that actually causes the mundane mind to continuously become heedless, or react to sense experience, not knowing what all these things are. Yeah, they lack self-knowledge. They lack inner awareness, mindfulness to see. Then they don't know how they become emotional, how they become angry, how they become what they are, how their views, opinion, conditioning, and the habitual tendency went in. And they don't see what memory is all about. And the way people act is all through the mundane mind, the thinking mind, with its bundles of memory, views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. And this is not you. This is what they call memory. Memory are your accumulated experiences, good and bad, your phobia, your whatever, scars of memory, everything. And if you use that to act, you will definitely get into trouble. But acting according to memory is not acting at all, because within your memory, there is a lot of rubbish. Okay. And memories of the past, they are all thought-based, created by thought. So all this understanding, if you don't see, you don't understand, technically, I use the word technically, you cannot awaken. You cannot develop the transformation, the direct seeing, the understanding. Then you will never understand life, because life has two very profound aspects. The form and mind is one aspect. Yeah, this one is not you. This one is karmically conditioned out for us to come to this universe as a vehicle and a tool for us to use, for us to cultivate, do whatever we want. And this one is subject to karma. So that is the first aspect of life. Then there is another aspect, which is our true mind, our true nature. You have to silence your mind to develop the meditation to awaken to that. Then you realize, hey, there is a nature within which is the unborn, the unconditioned, that has the eternal life, that can understand a lot of things, that can develop the unconditioned wisdom. Then you will penetrate the Dhamma. Then you will penetrate all the essential teaching of the Buddha, like the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then you will also penetrate the true emptiness of the unconditioned Dhamma. That's why under the Heart Sutta, in true emptiness, whatever that exists within the conditioned world, like old age, sickness and death, birth, old age, sickness and death, Dhamma and all those things, life, all the marks that you talk about within the conditioned world, in true emptiness, there is no mark. No one born, no one die, no one sick, no one old. No Dhamma, nothing. Even life, existence, all, they are false, empty, not what you think. That's why without that wisdom, you cannot fit into life. You cannot free your mind. You will entangle. But the complication comes from the two aspects of life. One is the condition for the condition Dhamma that has all the dualities that we talk about, that has the Four Noble Truths, that has the reality of life and existence, that has the Dhamma, everything. And that one is one aspect. And that one, without the ultimate unconditioned wisdom and understanding, you will definitely get yourself entangled, where you will use the wrong understanding to live life and get yourself entangled and afflicted with life. So to summarize what you try to share, I think it's very important. Now that you understand how in the past cultivators were unable to penetrate this teaching and understanding, is because of the traditional teaching, the traditional conditioning of meditation and cultivation. Then now that you understand, you should read through and stabilize that understanding for those who are still quite new or haven't progressed strong enough. You should read through to understand. Then when you understand, only you do, then you progress very fast. Otherwise, you are wasting your time doing without understanding, no point. You end up becoming gullible and you are repeating all this thought-based meditation that doesn't lead to progress, doesn't lead to transformation of the individual because of the lack of understanding. That's why meditation has to be done with understanding. Then when you understand, when you move into it, you realize the cultivation, the path is all different. The experience are all different. Awareness-based and thought-based world apart. If you don't have awareness-based training or meditative understanding, you cannot live life, you cannot be heedful in the midst of life. That's why, like the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. It's only the heedful. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So without the Dhamma, without this understanding, you will end up with heedless thinking, thought-based meditation. And the way living beings go about living their life is always entanglement, using their mundane mind as the main key instrument, because that is the only mind they understand. They seldom even have a glimpse of what that pure mind is, that true mind is. That silent awareness within that nature. So without those understanding, it's very difficult to start even meditation. So all these are very useful understanding. So for Miss Lee, I think Sadhu Yo, for trying to highlight all this, because you start to realize the importance of all this understanding and how it has helped you in your cultivation, and you are able to develop much more understanding and clarity. That's why the things you do now, you are no longer like before. In the early day, you are very, rigid in your approach, and you have a lot of thought-based conditioning behind. But luckily, over the years, you have changed, because you realize that there is something else which actually can bring forth the understanding and wisdom. Because without the understanding, you will continue with what you do, and all this wrong approach to meditation or cultivation is the cause of stagnation. That's why you will come to realize you are still very rigid, very stubborn. I meant earlier on, not now. Now you have changed. You have become a lot better and very different. Your understanding has improved. So all this will benefit you, will also benefit others, because when they see you transform or change, having the understanding, it will give them faith and all those things. That's why your sharing just now was good. So sadhu to you, Miss Leah. You can continue. Yeah.
Thank you, Virgil, for the reminding and the recapture of the important points. This meditative mind, the awareness is very important because it allows you to actually insight into whatever happening at that moment.
Yeah.
And because of that, the understanding, more and more understanding arises within, yeah. Then actually gave you the stability.
Mm.
And it becomes what do you call that? That means you are less chattering in your mind.
Yeah.
And you don't go back to your old way.
Yeah.
Because of that. you know what are you attached to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because the awareness allow you to see.
Yeah.
Because the old way involves a lot of thinking, the thought process.
Yes,
right. You always analyze things, reason, then apply Dhamma knowledge. That's why the Sankara is very active. Then that one actually make people very tired, very stressful. There is no clarity. There is no space within thought. That's why you mentioned the awareness nature is very important, which is true. When you are aware, what happened? There is no thought, no thinking. Means what? You are not preoccupied with what you are thinking, what you are like involved in life. Sometimes it can be your problem, your anxiety, your fear, your unhappy, unresolved problem or situation in life. That's why there is no peace, there is no clarity, there is no awareness, and the sankhara is always there, the emotion is always there. That's why the mental hindrance is always there. So that one is heedless living. Then you realize as you train yourself to develop this awareness based meditation, once it's stabilized, like you say, you are with the present moment. Where when you don't think, you can see all the movement, all the activity, all the phenomena, because you are silent. You can be with the moment in awareness to understand how the mind reacts and stuff. Then through the awareness, you recollect and recall, why did I stir? How come when I see that person or I hear that thing, my mind react this way? And that is contemplative reflection. Because you see it in the meditation. You see it while you are in the midst of life. Yeah, there is awareness to be aware of all these reactions. But when a person is heedless, they don't have awareness to see. They are so conditioned by their emotion, by their anger, their views, their opinion. That's why all this follow paticca-samuppada and make them miserable. Avijja paccaya sankhara is very active. The sankhara paccaya vijnana, straight away you go to nama-rupa. The content of consciousness going, your views, opinion, and conditioning all going. Then the whole paticca-samuppada leads to contact, feeling, craving, grasping, becoming, suffering, affliction, misery, the whole process go through very fast. Then you constantly do that. You become habitual. That's how habitual tendency comes to be. That's how living being become heedless and all things. So now what you are going through, you don't have the stability to explain all this is because you are just going through. You are starting to understand the beauty of this way of training your mind to be heedful, to be aware, like you mentioned just now. After that, you have more clarity, more space within thought, more aware, and less heedless. Then you won't go back to your old way of fear, worry, anxiety, chattering, verbalizing, you know. Because a lot of those are heedless way of living. not necessary, not required. You think also like that, don't think also like that, then why go and think? Why go and complain? Why go and like reason, justify, analyze? For who? To satisfy the mundane mind, the mind that has duality, delusion, lack of understanding. But when you are aware and you have the wisdom, the yoniso manasikara, the wisdom will come out and prompt you. Sankara anicang, sankara dukkang. You will not think anymore. You will not go and waste your time on it anymore. Unless you want to recall something, to develop some understanding, to help people, to live life. And then you arise a thought. Otherwise, most of the time, you are just aware and heedful. So you start to understand how I explained it in the book just now. So all this understanding needs stability before you can really have that energy and stability to express it out and share. But based on what you have gone through, it's good enough. Like just now I mentioned, you can start to see the difference already, the beauty of all this. But the energy and the stability of wisdom and understanding to express it out and to share, just like Song Dale, you need a while. So what you are going through is a good, what they call, good start to the whole of the training. And it will actually make all this cultivation clearer and clearer. And as more and more people progress, they will be able to share more and more of what they experience and their ability to express all this out. So this is what my nature wants to see. Those Kayavita who has developed the progress and the understanding, they can actually start to share all this. But because of their limited stability and understanding, it takes a while normally for you all to have the ability to see the whole thing and express it out. What you have seen and understood while doing is the beginning, the first initial level of training, the understanding. Then as this thing stabilizes, you will progress further and you will understand things deeper. Then a lot of other things will surface. Like what you all saw Sister Amy discussed with me that they experienced. Another one is the silent mind going beyond the normal silent, going into more refined awareness. Then all the whatever sankara activity, they have like really diminished. Means the surface movement of the mundane mind, it has actually subsided, diminished. Then you are able to realize the deeper part of the awareness nature, the more aware type, the more refined type. So once you go into that, the cultivation becomes different again. The stability become different again, then that nature's power or capability, the cultivator who go through will start to understand again. So these are the various progress that can arise and happen to cultivator. So all these are very beautiful and very meaningful sharing. So listen to this again, Miss Lee. It will help you. And it will propel more understanding for you.
I on the October 18th, it was my sharing. I just finished listen again. So I what I can list, what I'm derived from the second listening.
Yes.
The word to me is determination.
Yes.
You were saying like my life, I'm the type of like easygoing. So
you are not like PG, very determined on her. It's not her mind very strong, but of course the whole top high. For you, you are sometimes too easygoing. You're not that serious, but you can change all this within your ability to change where your life, where you see all this understanding, when you listen again, then you manage to capture this word. The key word is determination. You must do it. When you determine, your mind can be very strong. Determination is a type of adhitana. It's like when you make affirmation, adhitana, you determine to cultivate, to go this way, to realize and to develop certain type of important cultivation. So this determination is very important. Good.
Brother, I actually, maybe 1-2 years ago, I already told myself, I'm a person who can determine what I want. So
yeah.
That's how.
Yeah, you can. That's why I told you. You can do it. It can change. Yeah. Because your earlier Tida Appa way is your heedless mundane mind's way. It's not the cultivator's way. And you have your condition. You have your timing too. Otherwise, you won't stay until so long. Yeah. You will have disappeared long ago.
Yeah, brother, actually, when I was very young during the secondary school, I think probably of my family background that is poor. So I was very determined to study well.
No one helped you. Yeah,
I did it quite all right.
Yeah.
And actually, 1-2 years back, I also recall this. I said, if I can determine to in my study,
you can determine in your spiritual practice. Yeah.
But brother, too, it doesn't look well in spiritual journey because I did it come down and now I'm in the stage that, how come I cannot go back to the determination that I have those days in my study? Why I cannot bring to my spiritual journey?
You know what is that, Anna? That is your thought telling you because you have doubt. You are not serious enough yet. If you see the importance and you are dead serious like BG, there is no such doubt. There is no such thing as the thought telling you, how come I cannot do like last time my study? Because, like you explained just now, in the early day, you determined to study well is because you came from a poor family. That situation forced you to go that way. You have no choice. But now, the spiritual way, because you still take it easy, you know why or not? You think you know the Dhamma, there is no urgency. If I will to excuse myself by using a Hokkien word, you still bo kia si, you still think it's a joke. You still think this is fun, that not urgent yet. When you really see the danger of heedlessness, like Alicia, they all, you become different. Alicia, because of the depression and all things, is solved. She doesn't want to go back to the old way. That's why she determined to come out of it. She constantly listened to the Dhamma sharing. Then constantly put it into practice and cultivate. Then she transformed and become different. You can also do when you are serious, because maybe like the short video I sent out, they say, when you tie home, yeah, you become complacent. Because life is too good, understand? Now that you are very happy, you have bought your own house, and you are already not like last time, worrying about financial and all those things. So all this can have a impact on your thought activity, on your determination to do or not to do certain things. So reflect on all this. You have to reflect to develop understanding. When you reflect that how other people can determine and come out of their condition, because they have gone through all this suffering and affliction. So for your case, you should thank your good karma that you have overcome a lot of your karmic problems, and now you are able to have some more dharma understanding that allow you to have the good life. But don't allow this to actually trap you, to create complacency in you. Is stopping you from having that determination to go all out to cultivate. Because like I said, this is the golden window. If you miss this, it will be a long, long time before you can come across such a window again. Because the next sasana is going to be very, very long. So the balance of years for toward this sasana to end is not that many. If you miss this window, it's really going to take you a long, long time before you can you reflect like that, contemplate like that, then you will go all out. Because what you need to do, Polian, is to determine to follow the Bodhisattva way, the yellow card, to go this way. Once that one is firmly established, the Bodhi mind planted, the faith, the determination very strong, this is what you need. Then life after life, you will have this understanding when you arise. Then your cultivation will take off. Then whether sasana or no sasana, you will have this very important right view, basic understanding, the understanding to overcome coming obstruction, to cultivate, take the bodhisattva vow, everything. So this is not difficult, isn't it? Let's I go back and reflect on all this, listen to what I share with you today. Then you plant this Bodhi seed or Bodhi mind with strong determination, faith, and understanding, you will be able to do it. That it will drive you. That's why the Bodhisattva vow is very important. You have to do it. You have to, like that day I heard from one Kayamita, which is very good. I don't want to mention the name. Because he determined every day he do the religious routine. Then he wants to develop affinity Kuan Yin. He chant the Heart Sutta, the Sing Sing, 50 times at least a day. That type of joy, that type of determination, where he has strong faith in Kuan Yin. That's why he did it. And when he was at my house, he told me, he said, but do this one. Don't play. We have to do it. Even the wife talked to him also, he got no time. He said, I want to finish my 50th time chanting first. Then after that, only he start his day and all those things. So you can do it, Olen. Okay.
Yeah, Brother Teo, actually recently also somehow I don't know what happened that I was thinking I must have affinity with Kuan Yin Pu Sa.
That's why you do it.
When I was driving, especially in the morning, I would chant Kuan Yin Pu Sa, Kuan Yin Pu Sa.
Very important. Listen to the chanting. Then when you pay respect to Kuan Yin, then triple jam. Sakyamuni Buddha, all the great beings. Then the Bodhisattva vow will also have a training to actually request the blessing, protection, and guidance of all these great beings, and you pay respect to them. Then you thank them for what they have done for you. This will allow you to establish strong affinity with them. Very good.
So, Brother Teo, I know that if chant in silence in our maya is not so effective than chant loud. So I chant aloud in my car.
Yes.
So
you
loud
can't. That I can hear myself. In your car, you're only alone. Right?
Yes, I'm alone. I chant aloud that I can hear myself. And Brother Teo, the mind is so tricky, even though I chant aloud, that I can hear on my own, not really.
Yeah.
Many times I discover, my God, my mind is thinking something else.
Yeah, get distracted. That's why it's not easy to hold on to the chant. To hold on to the chant is to have the stability of mindfulness and the faith and the understanding. That's why you think they all chant Amitabha whole day, so easier. You remember Miss Lee just now sent out one Amitabha, the meaning of Amitabha by the Makusan, the late master Sun Yan Fa Si. He said there was a monk who started this. Throughout his day, he's only chanting Amitabha. Whatever you ask him, he will reply Amitabha. The way he replied, the pronunciation of this Amitabha, you will know whether it's a yes or no or rejoice or what. So that's why the word Amitabha is very powerful. He can chant until become a part of him, until throughout the day that chanting is with him. How come he doesn't get the mundane mind distracted? It's because of the faith, the training, the understanding. It's just like the daily mindfulness. You do until it becomes a part of you, then you are aware throughout the day. Your mind enters the deep. So those who do the chanting very seriously also say the mind has been trained to be aware. Aware of what? Aware of the chanting. When the chanting and the awareness become one, you will come to realize nobody is chanting. Nobody is chanting means he know you, he know me, it's like that. Then that thing arises by itself. Amitabha, Amitabha. This thing will surface and become very clear. Then for your case, Guanyin Fusa, Guanyin Fusa, Guanyin Fusa. Then there are various types of chant for Guanyin. Then there is also the other mantra, Om Temi Memi Hom. Many. Om Mani Padme Hum. Sorry, I always get that the other way. Om Mani Padme Hum. My daughter teach me. So that M-A-N-I is Mani. Mani, but not our English. M-O-N-E-Y, Mani. Om Mani Padme Hum. So that one you can chant. That one, I think Joyce is very good at it. At the retreat, wow, that nature, the conscious nature come in. Wow, the chanting that came out, the Om Mani Padme Hum. Wow, very powerful, very, very powerful. So you can do it. That's why initially chant it out aloud is good. It's good training because it will give you that strong faith. I used to chant it out when the early days. And I like to listen to the chanting. Early day, my car got cassette player, and I play very often. My wife last time used to have this Amitabha tape, Kuan Yin tape, the chanting, everything. So we play to develop the sada, the affinity, and all those things. Yeah, it can be done. Sadhu to you.
Yeah, thank you, Sadhu, brother too. I mean, at the moment, I'm trying to do this. I think I have to, brother, I have to chant lagi loud, louder.
Yeah, it's up to you, no problem. Everyone is different. If it helps you, you will know that you will chant. Then it will become a part of you. Then that thing will follow you into your next life. So that in future life, when you arise, the moment you hear that chanting, inside will move already, your heart there will stir already. Then it's like this line, my nature. When I heard Amitabha or Kwansing, the chanting, my nature arise straight away. Then I can follow the chanting, although I English educated. No, very strange. Everywhere I go, I travel, when I hear this, it will start, it will move inside. Then my mind is very clear. The awareness and the thing move is one. Then I know my affinity with these two gripping is very, very special. Especially when you Bodhisattva, Kwansing-Pusa, and also Amitabha. Amitabha has very strong affinity with my nature too. So you should determine.
I find
to understand the importance of that word, determine. do it. Don't allow the thought to come in and tell you all those things. Why last time can, now cannot. It is all the thought. The thought complains.
Still have to do.
Yeah. Because the thought, which is the mundane mind, will complain. Will come out with all the reasoning. Then the excuse, the justification for you not to do.
Yes, it's very tricky.
Be aware of the way of the mundane mind, the thinking mind. That one is becoming very deceiving. That one is not your friend. Only your friend when you have the wisdom. Before the wisdom comes, that one is deceiving. That one is creating a lot of unnecessary mental hindrance to you, to like falling to your Hokkien, make you lose faith and other things. But when you have the understanding already, then that mind, the mundane mind, become beautiful, become wonderful. Then you can make use of it. Then there is joy, there is understanding.
Yeah, brother, actually, I can feel that certain times when I want to do my routine or whatever, some other thing attract me into other activity that I also don't understand why these things.
Past karmic obstruction.
Yes, I think so, brother.
That's why you need to overcome it. Follow the yellow card. Chant that ask for forgiveness on. Although you have cleared the offense for the triple gem to allow you to come back to cultivate, but when you want to make determination, affirmation to go this way, the obstruction will come. You have to do it again. You have to go through the process of asking for forgiveness again. Then from there, rejoice in the understanding and share merits and transfer merit and evoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to determine and move. You have to do that.
Thank you, Brother.
I
think that's it, Brother. Is still up to me.
It's up to you where your life. So you have the window, the condition, you must determine. And it can be done. So many people have done it. For you to have the condition to be born as a human being, to receive this Buddha Dharma, to be able to be with us, Kayamita, you have your karma. So have faith. The time will come.
Sadhu, brother.
Anything else? You want to ask any question?
No, I am facing this determination issue and the faith. Only when I can actually cross this steps.
You can. I already told you. You don't allow the thought to distract you and deceive you. The mundane mind is always doing all these things. So you need to be mindful of how the mundane mind actually create delusion and stir the mind. Like the Buddha said, the mundane mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. When mind arise, all things arise. In fact, all of creation, all of sankara come from the mundane mind. So determine to develop wisdom and understanding to be aware of all this. Then reverse the process, retrospectively reverse it through wisdom, right view and right understanding. Then all this will transform and you will become beautiful.
Sadhu Bharati. So thanks for your advice. It's really something bothering me that, I
see Luckily you say it out, then at least I can point out a few things to you and advise you accordingly. So this one, you go back and listen It will help you. For those who like to should also listen to this part of the sharing.
For them, and Miss Lee, very good sharing.
Yeah.
Maybe I can also give my sharing, which is related to Miss Lee and Pollyanna.
Wow, Sadhu. That's good. Yeah.
But first sharing, maybe I share on what Pollyanna just said, but you see whether I'm having wrong thinking or what.
Oh, don't worry. You just share. Then I will be able to develop understanding to guide you. Don't worry. Go ahead.
Okay. So, actually, I've been seeking for forgiveness for many, many months.
No wonder you say you can share something that Pauline is going through. Yeah.
Yeah. So, then after that, I also relook at my life, and because initially I focus on more awareness during my working time.
Yeah.
Then I see that I have improved that way.
Yes. Yes. That one is true. Yes. You have improved. It has helped you a lot too.
So then I wanted to try to progress further. So
yeah,
I start to look at outside my work, not to say work study the other, still gone, but I wanted to spread out more, and I see that a lot of defilements also in relation outside my work,
your daily life.
I thought work was already bad enough, but no, actually
you start to see with the awareness your activity in the midst of life is also equally bad enough. That's why there are a lot of things to realize, to understand. Then you, after seeing it, you will be able to straighten your view to reverse all this. That's why you can go and do what you need to do, ask for forgiveness, evoke power of marriage to turn around and all that. And this is very good. That's why for you, I think you have progressed very well in the right direction, because you overcome your problem one by one. Your career work problem initially was very tough because you face a lot of problems, a lot of issues, a lot of relationship thing and career related activity and condition. Then through all this determination, mindfulness and awareness and applying the Dhamma, you're able to resolve them and become happier, become more peaceful, more adept to go through all this career activity with ease and understanding and joy. Then you see the good result. That's why with all this, it gives you faith. Then now you determine to improve further by moving out of your work activity, your career field, into your daily activity, life and all those things. So this is useful. So sadhu to you. You can continue to share.
So I thought maybe I do bowing.
That will be very useful.
I used to bow, but then after that I did less. So now I wanted to do
more. Go back into the training, get the momentum going again, which is very good. Well, bowing can bring about the continuity of mindfulness. Your mind can enter sati. And when the mind enters sati, you will know, you bow until the body and mind move as one. Then after that, when you have stabilized it, even after you come out of the bowing, your body and mind and your awareness move as one. Then you know already. Sometimes while bowing, you already know you are in sati already. Then after that, all your movement activity like slow down, magnify, and you become very different. Like the thinking no more there. The awareness is there taken over, because it's a new way of training, conditioning to be aware. That's why I say just bow, don't try to know, just bow. Bow the way. Bow until body and mind move as one. Okay? No one is bowing like chanting until the mind enters the deep. And it will happen. When it happens, the individual will know. Then you will understand many things. Then your daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, will take off. After that, you can see a lot of this subtle and the intention, the daily activity thing. You start to see, like now, you know your actually life in the midst of life, daily activity is worse than your career one. Career one bad enough, really, but life one also a lot to root out, a lot to straighten your view and understanding, which is very good. That's why without awareness, without mindfulness, you cannot see. So this bowing is one of the good training. Yeah, you can continue, Maya. Yeah.
This time when I bow, I can feel the difference. Last time when I bow, I feel tired.
Yeah, because you didn't do it correctly. When you feel tired and all those things, your body and mind is not one. When your body is mind is one, it's just like you go for jogging or walking. You walk until the body and mind is one. You're not tired one. At that pace, you continue to walk or walk with joy. So when you are walking mindfully without thought or not much thought, with specific phenomena awareness, your body is very light. You feel joy and all those things. So it's the same. The bowing also say you do it correctly, it will become like very light. It's like you have a lot of joy in doing it. Then you can see the difference. Now the bowing doesn't make you tired anymore. You like to bow. I still remember initially the leg there where you kneel, the anchor, you call it the anchor. Ah, the knee, sorry. Wrong. The knee there. Oh. It will, after a while, like the skin, like become
thicker
and a little bit like can tahan more, like more resilient. Then you continue to bow until it doesn't affect you at all. Like last time, the sitting, I remember near my ankle there are two spots where the pressure is there, the two mark on both my leg. No, last time the mark very strong because I do not the full letters on the normal leg cross. Then in the year 1988-89, I met one monk. This monk very observant, Achan Jagaro. Then he came to Brickfield that time to give talk. I was doing the recording there. When he was not conducting any Dhamma, he walked around the monastery and I used to see him at the shrine hall. Then I pay my respect, then I sit down and talk to him. So he liked to talk to me. He was so observant. He saw me. Where do you get the two things, the two dots on your leg there? Both my leg, he saw. I said, sitting. He said, sadhu. Achan Jagaro, his mindfulness and metta are very strong. He is a good monk. That's why that time I listened to his sharing, his talk. It was good. So all this, you will go through and you will know. That's why you have to do it. You do it, you go through, then you can share that experience. And right now you are sharing, which is very good. So what I want to add on is your knee, after a long period of bowing, that one will become like resilient. Then you can do it with ease, like you don't feel tired, like you described just now. So all this will happen. Yeah? Sadhu. Samo, what else?
Do I know where is the part, you
say
both legs, where is the location?
Oh, the sitting one. Is it the sitting one is you see your cross leg, how you describe these two place, these two dots? When your leg cross between the ankle and the little toe, the flat surface there where you have contact with the ground, the two dot.
Okay.
So both side, right side, left side. If until I can sit very well, that time I sit on the concrete floor, so no problem. The rattan floor, so no problem. Yeah, during that time I was still young, and I can really sit because that time I did the religious routine every day. I sit a lot that time. Then I do my daily mindfulness cultivation and all the things. That's why in the early day when I come out to teach the meditation also, a lot of those people who come to my class, I heard them commenting at the panel. Especially after the class, when I was walking out, I heard them talking. You call it the devotee, I don't know. You don't play a fool or this person. I saw him come in the class 3 to 6, sit there and won't move on. For 3 hours solid. The whole meditation, never move on. Never adjust the leg or so. A lot of those comments, you know, that time I can sit. I can really sit. That time, 2-3 hours is nothing. Sometimes I sit for 4 hours during the early days. Then of course I alternate with some relaxed walking and all that. And later on when I know how to do the lying down, I prefer the lying down because the lying down is the most relaxed posture. But sitting is also important because sitting can make you focus, can actually make your whole anapanasati very stable. Then your mind stay there. Then when you are in that sitting posture, you can maintain awareness at the in and out breath. Then I was able to meditate until my mind enters sati. The mind become like hardly breathe, very subtle. Then I can just stay there and maintain awareness. That's how I came to know I had to relax. Because in the sitting posture, cross-legged, if I cannot relax, it will build up as energy, concentration. Otherwise, I cannot sit. Then when I relax, I realize my mindfulness become more and more refined, more and more stable. Until I have complete mindfulness, then I got no pain. No pain. When I am relaxed and mindful and aware, the sitting posture, the cross-legged, I got no pain at all. Then all this, my nature start to understand and experience. That's why I went through all those things. Then later on, I also came to know the benefits of other posture, like walking, bowing, lying down. In fact, all these postures are kaya within your physical body. Under kaya nupasana, you can make use of them. That's why the Buddha says, standing aware, walking aware, sitting aware, lying down aware, bowing also, you can develop awareness. Then bending, stretching, turning, the sati sampajana, everything is described in the Satipatthana Sutta, the first category of training under kaya nupasana. And that's how I find the joy in developing all this, because it's in the sutta and it helps me to develop mindfulness. Well, when you anchor your mind to your kaya, you don't think. You are aware, aware, aware. That's why I keep on saying aware, aware, aware. Aware, finish, aware, finish, just aware. No need to know anything until the mind stabilizes and enters sati. Then the awareness becomes continuous. Yeah, you can continue.
I was surprised also because I can do around maybe slightly less than 20 minutes in the morning.
Wow, sadhu, that is very good.
Yeah.
That type of bowing means your mind is going to enter sati soon. Very fast. Yes, you can do it for 20 minutes. your mind sure enter sati on. You must do it over a period. That time I do it over 2 months, I remember, until my mind enters sati. The bowing become like you like to bow. So one day I bow a few times, at least 3, 4, or 5 times before I sleep. Early morning when I wake up, then in between whenever I'm free, I will just do the bowing.
But after 1 week, the right leg becomes swollen, you know.
Yeah. Initially like that, but don't worry. You need to apply some tita zao or what you apply. Don't worry. I can tell you, after 1 month, that whole thing become very strong. Very resilient, then no more complaint. That bowing become nothing. So, means you are just going through. Very good.
Or pus coming out.
Or the one means you have overdone it, you must slow down a bit. Pus coming out means already hurt yourself. You must put some cream, antiseptic cream and all those things. Means your skin has actually become like wounded. So you need to slow down. You bandage it or what, then try to slow down a bit until it heal. Until it heal, then keep the pace to the pace where you can endure. But after you heal, you will be more resilient. Well, the body is very strange, you know. It will cater for your need on. It's like that one. Like last time I played badminton also, same when I was young. Initially, not enough stamina, very tired. But after you play regularly, your stamina build up on. Then you're not tired on. Oh, then you like to play. So all these are possible. But don't overdo it. If pus come out, means very, very seriously wounded. Right? So try to allow it to heal. Apply the cream, the antiseptic cream. Then wash it. Or you need to bandage, you bandage it. But the one with the airy one, not the one that make it airtight one. The airtight one, I think, is not bad, not good. Then the oxygen may not go in. So you buy the tight or you call it bandage, the bandage that more airy type.
I did think that maybe this is what you say wrong view. I was thinking, I did got determination. I vow that it happened to me.
Yeah. But it's okay because first time you do it, maybe your body cannot take it because you are the soft type. You are the very soft type. Yeah, I think you seldom exercise on Maya?
Not rigorous exercise, soft type of exercise.
You're very soft one. From the way we observe you, you are the soft type one. So anyway, don't overdo it. That is the middle part.
So I stopped now.
No need to stop, but slow down. Just bowing, you do walking. Transfer some to walking. Maybe about 10 minutes, then walk. The 20 minutes is a bit very strong. That's why I say, you can do 20 minutes a few times a day. That is very strong, very good training. Then your mind will enter sati very fast. The last time when I do, I remember 10, 15 minutes at the most, I already enter that rhythm. Then my mind become very deep. Then after that, I realized that every time I bow, the full awareness is there. You will know it. And people who have mindfulness can see on. At that time when I bow, the monks who have the mindfulness on, they know. Then the way I move, I walk and conduct myself, the monk who have the training in mindfulness, they know. They like me. When I went to China spiritual trail, when I met those monks, they know, they observed. There was one I told you at this Aimas, that abbot, the old monk, a very old monk, he was hitting the you call what, the fish and the mo that big drum, the one like a sienpo, mo yeah, the talk one, the whole of the temple, my master, they were chanting this Amitabha, no. So then he read them with the Amitabha, oh, very accurate, no. Then the moment I heard from outside, my nature arose, no. Then I was full of joy. Then I wait for the Tao Yu to buy the ticket to enter. Before he even had the chance to explain, I straight away walk in by myself. I just want to know what time to come out and meet again. He said 45 minutes. Okay. I straight away went in. I don't want to visit the place. I went to the place where the moor is. And then I saw the old monk. As I walked there mindfully with that joy, and my metta very strong that time. I remember after 89, I went to China. Then, as I approached that building where he was doing that, I entered the building, and I saw the Buddha image there, Amitabha. Then I paid my respect. When I was paying my respect, this old monk, his back was facing me on the actually when he was doing that thing. He suddenly sensed something. He turned and looked at me and still performing that thing. And he smiled. The way he smiled, I know he can sense me. He know what I am doing. Then after that, I had this mind telling me, I must sit, don't do anything. Then I recall that you say 45 minutes, and I know if I sit down there at least 1-2 hours, and I won't move already. Then I say, cannot. Okay, I say, I sit for 10 or 20 minutes. So I sat. The old man was full of joy, he kept on looking at me. Then after I finished, I mindfully came up. He smiled to me so many times, like he rejoiced. Then, of course, he used the word Amitabha. Then, a lot of occasion when I was traveling, the monk can see. Those who have mindfulness, they can see. And most of them are Mahayana monk. Then there is one, it's a nun, the China trade thing. Was it? One of the China trip where we went to one nunnery, Mr. Make the appointment. We're not supposed to go there. On the abbot there also very good. The nun, she also know. He and the disciple, he later on during the discussion with us, the abbot told us, told our Kayamita, and also the one that take us around, the chief disciple. He said, the brother Theo, he has his cultivation. He is not what you think, although a lay person. But they know from the way I share, I teach, I chant, and I do the movement. They know, they can see. And the one that has sati can see. That's how I can sense to, I can know which monks has the sati and the dhamma and all those things. My nature can sense. So all these are possible and they are very beautiful. Okay, so this is what I want to share because there were conditions. So Manyan, you do it, then people can know and you will become different. When your mind enters sati, you will transform and your form and mind will understand. And my nature will rejoice. Sadhu to you.
You're right, you're for giving me some confidence.
When it will happen if you do it with such determination. Then after this one is Paulian one, isn't it? Then the other one is Miss Leon, you want to share?
Okay. this one now year-end evaluation again. Remember last year I told you about my colleague?
Then
she have a drastic change. I was sharing with Brother Theo earlier, right?
That one I remember, yes.
And Brother Theo also want to know why she has such a sudden change, right? Character, habit, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I actually earlier asked her, but she gave me an answer that I don't think it was impactful or important.
So
I let it be. Then now, because now it's year end again, we have to sit down and discuss. So I actually asked her, now this time really one to one, I really speak to her through the computer, what I'm doing with Brother Theo now. So I say that, you know, I'm really happy because I really can see the sudden change
in her.
It's beyond anything that I can think of.
And
I wanted to know why. How not this time she explained more in detail, and when she said that, I was really surprised. I'm not surprised, because what she's saying makes sense. Makes sense to what I understand from the Dharma, but Buddhist, you know.
What did she tell you actually?
Manuel, because last time when I communicate with her, 90% or 80% of the time it's not through verbal. Messaging. She said now first thing she said, I don't argue with you anymore.
That is a good one.
Never argue with her. She said, I just accept you.
That one is very high wisdom.
She said, Malay, she's Malay girl, I just accept you. Whatever you say, I just listen. Then I said, but last time when I asked you whatever question, I wasn't scolding you, you know. I told her that. She said, I know. But then I interpret as you were going after me.
Interrogating her. Good. This understanding, once clear, she will be more having more faith in you as the boss.
She said, when I type one question, when I message her, I will ask her, I don't know, maybe everything, she interpret it negatively.
Because even face to face, now face to face Zoom different. You sound different. That's why she actually very good that she can have this understanding. Very helpful.
So she said now, I noticed also, I compare last time, when I say something, she will retort back another thing, what she say will be like defending herself. How is this piece of work? Then she said, she got reason. But no reason. Never say any reason like that, you know. She just listen, and then she will do as what I say. She said, then I am more calm now. More calm now, and I find that when I am calm, her words are, I didn't change any of her words. When I'm more calm now, I do things
more efficiently.
Got output.
More efficient. It's correct. That's why you will see the evil root. The evil root, when you are unhappy, angry, you cannot produce good work.
Last time she said, selalu begitu buat saya.
No wonder. That's very good.
But then what about your children? Your three children, and the latest one, even, you know, having all those health issues. She said, I don't know. It's not impediment. Not a hindrance to her.
Because she got the motherly love. The motherly love will allow her to do. In fact, a lot of Malay ladies who are very committed to their duty as a mother, they have this type of mind. They can endure all those things because whatever it is that come to them, they believe is their religion, of course. God's will, Allah's will. So they accept. That's why the acceptance of their Islamic teaching is very good. And the second thing that is very good is they always ask for forgiveness. The Islamic religion is very good in that asking for forgiveness and forgiving people, especially during the Posaman. They really ask for forgiveness and they try to have that type of mind. And it's a training to them. That's good.
Then I also asked previously, I thought you also have like internet connection problem. That's why you're always missing in action.
Oh, no.
Then she said, if I compare with my husband also working from home, he really got IT technical problem. But internet problem, no, not much. She told me that, you know. So I was thinking, last time, she really, MIA on purpose after she got angry with whatever she interpret me
She
stopped doing it or she just don't care anymore.
That's why your attitude, your approach actually make a big difference, because karma is such when you have negativity of mind state, all the heedless thinking, all the defilements, they will shoot out and it will make things worse. But once she has the virtue, the good understanding, things become different. That's why she don't want to argue, accept. Then she realized she become more efficient. She do things better, faster, and output is higher. So all this, they will come to realize. That's why never get angry and unhappy when things don't go your way. Always remember this. I told my children too, especially my son, and he know. If you get angry, it becomes worse. Never. Because whatever happened, there are causes and conditions behind. So just let it be. Very good. Continue.
She said got other factors also, like, you know, she feel that now somehow whenever she asks for help from Mika or from other colleagues, the response to her she get the help that she wants, that
that's why she will come to know things go her way now. That's why she happy with what she has done. That thing changed her life. It's a good karma. Very good.
So those are the things that she said changed her, and I understand immediately when she said,
That's why with Dhamma you can understand her very well.
Because when she said, I also don't know what happened, Manuyan, just that I'm more calm now.
Because she accept, that's why she become more calm. The acceptance is very important. Last time perceiving negativity, he only saw your WhatsApp message. He didn't meet you in person. So he perceived you in negativity. That's why bosong. When you bosong means negative mind state already. Everything come out also negative one. That's what the Dhamma is. Then what about like Miss Lee's case?
Oh, this one, Miss Lee's case, because Miss Lee was saying that we need to be aware. So in her case,
in that sense, Miss Lee's case.
Aware. Of course, she didn't say that. I understand it that way.
Oh, that's good. Sadhu. Now, this is good sharing. This is real life example.
Then just that, what I find wonderful is that, like Brother Dio said, the Dhamma is it's everywhere, like it's not
only in the midst of, in the midst of life and existence.
I mean, it can also happen to a Muslim.
Yes,
it doesn't belong to us.
Because that truth cannot be monopolized. Truth is truth. That is the reality. What is? Tatata, suchness. That's why nobody can monopolize truth.
So this year, I willingly give her a good rating. Last year, I have to disagree with my boss, but then of course my boss win. No disagreement.
Very good, Sadhu. Good. That's beautiful. Okay. So let us rejoice. Sadhu. Today's sharing is very good. You can get three, Miss Lee, Polian, and Manyon. So this type of sharing is very helpful. Sometimes you can start to understand different people, cultivate differently, they progress in a different manner. Like Manyon's case is from her career, then she starts to move into life. Then Miss Lee one is through her own cultivation, observation, she come to understand. Then Chipolian one is she's finding out all this important determination, all those things to help her improve, to help her to become more determined, to go this way. So all this can be useful and helpful if you listen attentively. Everyone is different. Then it will help you in your overall understanding as you go this Bodhisattva way. Okay.
Virgil, 我想给柏林一点点 feed.
Good, good.
就是我现在经常就会有那个chanting 就是观世音菩萨，比我走路啊。
哇，那就很好哦。
那个有一次我在 morning walk or brisk walking 的时候，我发觉到，那个 chanting 跟我的手跟我的脚全部。
全部
一起
对，
是，对，我想跟柏林讲是可以做到的，柏林加油，
哇，加油，沙德，
阿弥陀佛，
阿弥陀佛，very good, Miss, your mind has entered sati, otherwise this thing won't happen, then it will come, because you have your past, your Mahayana,great beings affinity is there. Not only Quan Sing, in fact, Titan Wang Fusa also. So all these are very beautiful understanding. So, Paulian, Jia Yua, 听到吗?
Yes, Brother Dio, 我听到。
Alicia, 叫你加油啊。
But if whenever I got chance to talk to Alicia, I can feel 她的生活 anytime, anywhere, 她都有佛法在那边。
Sadhu,
她 anytime, 她好像 every day, 她过她的生活，她的那个，就是她，而且她是一个很 diligent 的 student。她都很 alert。佛法的就好像他跟我讲 she told me, 我们要想 Buddha and Bodhisattva 就好像我们想我们的 parents 这样 还会有那个 resonate 这样他会这样子我都没有
你看他感恩吗感恩啊 gratitude 啊So a lot of these things come from her earlier condition because she was in 16 years of depressionAnd she went through like hell. Then when she learned the Dhamma, she connect back to the past. Then the good parami and conditions surface. Then she determined to change. Then when the change happened, she saw the transformation, the change in her life. in the condition of our family life, relationship with people and all those things, everything go for the better. That's why after that, the whole family has faith in her, including Freddie's son. Freddie was very happy that her friend all can see the big change in her, the transformation. That's why now you also can see that she is so different. She is like full of joy. Dhamma is always with her. 好像一个修行者很乐观很 happy. And everything also gratitude can earn Amitabha and all those things. Although Chinese educated, Mandarin educated. So this is what cultivator is. A person can really transform and change when they really have the Dhamma. So 你应该 make use of it to develop the faith and rejoice. Then at the same time, 加油,
Brazil, 每一次跟他讲电话，他就在教我，他是我的小老师。
他每一次都在教的，他每次也discuss with Brother Song
是他的又不同 Brother 那个 Song 的教的 method 不同的。
Of course, 不同, but she learned in different ways. Everything she learned, she put it into practice. And she evolved her own understanding to develop all this practice. That's why her way is the subtle way that transformed her. And all through virtue, understanding, goodness. She realized the more Dhamma she has, the more virtuous she becomes. Then all the good quality of mind, like can earn, the other one is the four Brahma Vihara. What we call rejoicing is called in Mandarin is what? Si, some more.
Sui si, eh,
Ah, Sui si, Fa si, Fa si, Sui si, then a lot of all this, she can apply it. Then gratitude, of course, can earn and all those things. So she applied a lot of this. And she realized through this, she had joy in life. She find meaning in life. And suffering is gone. No more negative thought. So much so to the extent that the mindfulness and the awareness and the Unisomanasakara has become so stable. Whenever the habitual tendency try to come out, he like straight away point at the department. Enough, you have caused me enough suffering. Go la, 不要再来. So all this understanding allow her to immediately cease the potential conditioning from the old way of habitual tendency, the thinking and all those things, the wrong thought. Because she saw, she understood. Then she wrote it out. She said, enough, you have tormented me long enough. That's it, finish. Straight away, subside. So that's how the understanding comes, which is very good. Very good, Sadhu. Anything else, Pauline?
No, I want to say thank you very much because
Yeah. She is, in fact, helping a lot of people. Yeah. Even on her family side, her friend and all those things, she's helping them. Her Macau friend, her other friends, she's helping many of them. Even her own brother and sister, Freddie's side and all those things. Then they have their own classmate gathering, though, which is very beautiful.